caller, well known to the whole of Aotearoa, based in Te Taitokorau these days, the chairperson of Te Runanga o Te Rawarawa. Kia ora, Hami. How are you, Hami Piripi? Tēnā koe, Hami. Hami, my friend, your whanaunga Shane Jones said, open it up, let's party, let's have Christmas. What are you saying as the chair?
Oh, I've got a lot more responsible view than that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that it's very clear from the science that once it does open up, we will become inundated with the threat. And in that inundation, our communities will suffer loss of life. It seems very clear to me. And so, you know, the last line of defense is vaccination. And we've got all the science indicates that all over the world. There's no question about it.
No question.
No question. And even then, there's Māori Pōmare, Te Rangihiro, and the new Māori Party. They did all that then, 100 years ago, to prove that vaccination was the best way to defend against a pandemic or an epidemic. And so, you know, it's actually a bit of a travesty that those big advances that those early leaders made for us were never really picked up and promulgated to the health system to innovate and make it work better for us. Ever since then, the last 100 years, we've been on a, instead of a trajectory going up in terms of health, it's been a trajectory going down. Mm. And so there's been a failure by the state to listen and adopt. I mean, it's only been this year that they finally decided to set up a Māori Health Authority.
Yeah.
And that's after an inquiry was held. You know, So they've been dragging their feet, and in the dragging of their feet, they have really not done us justice. They've denied us the ability and the capacity to respond in the way we need to respond. Vaccinations, for example, we should have 6 months ago. We should have been on this long ago, doing our own thing. You know. But we're all waiting for the COVID bugler to tell us when to blow, and all it is just a notice board. We need to be more proactive than that.
Hey, Hami, you know, people who live in places like Tamaki Makaurau or downtown Wellington or you know, even smaller provincial cities like let's say New Plymouth or Whakatane, you're only a 5 minute drive to your doctor. But if you live in Tikau or you live in Omapere, it's a very different scenario, isn't it?
Oh yeah, if you live in Pauranga, you got to cross the harbour.
Yes,
you know, and if the ferry's not going, you're going to die on the other side. You know? Those are the sort of difficulties that we have in these far flung, isolated rural areas. And of course, the other thing is, you know, when it comes to getting vaccinated, it's not simply just sticking a needle in somebody's arm.
That's right.
Because our young Māori men in particular, We have in this country a demonstrated track record of bias.
Mm.
Demonstrated in every bloody disparity you can think of, you know. And so why would we trust the Pākehā to come and stick a needle in our arm? You know, you have to have a legitimate purpose. You have to have credibility. You have to have explanations, whakamārama, you know. Māori men in particular, we don't respond to compliance. We respond to whakamārama.
Mm.
If we know why we have to do it, we will do it. Mm. But if someone says, "No, you just do it because we told you to," well, then we won't do it. You know, it's just the way we are.
See,
so,
carry on.
Yeah, go.
Just in terms of this, you are quite right. There's a, and some would say, healthy disrespect for authority. That not only is there a disconnection in terms of lack of resourcing, a lack of ongoing resourcing, but also just a fundamental mistrust. And for many of our people, the only time that they have any connections with authority is, you know, when there's problems, when there's trouble,
when they're being arrested,
when they've been arrested, eh? Hemi, what has been your particular iwi's response?
Well, we started last year off with a response that was everybody had the same response. You know, get the good damn medical supplies and food and that. But it was really a bloody scramble.
Mm.
because we hadn't done any analysis on where the real need was and where the real priorities were. We're just giving everything to everybody. Well, you can't. That doesn't work no more now. We have to be more discerning about what we land and where we landed.
Mm.
And so so the only way for us to achieve that effectively is to empower our local communities themselves. So in our pandemic response, the local communities like Pongaru and Pauranga, they have their own bubble of response, and in that way it's much more relevant, much more applicable, and we seem to, and much more acceptable. You know, right down to the roadblocks. You know, the regional roadblocks now are not so big for us.
Mm.
It's the local ones. So we need to know who's amongst us, how long they're there for, who they're seeing, because that data is going to be essential for us to know where this virus is spreading to. You know, but the biggest threat for us is our children.
Yep.
Because our children have got a triple jeopardy.
Mm.
In terms of our demographic, we make up over 50% of all children are ours.
Mm.
We are the most vulnerable due to the socioeconomic deprivation and disparity figures. And we're not vaccinated.
Mm.
The children aren't vaccinated. So the three big risk factors all facing our kids, and we're going to open the gate.
And we know that while our children might not feel the effects so much of COVID, that we know that they can be viral spreaders quite easily. And once it gets into the local communities, the government's taken quite a huge political risk, some would say, by saying, right, we are going to work with iwi. We are going to assist them in terms of protecting their rohe. Roadblocks are a call that local whānau hapū were made, and we're going to help support them in that. And then you see Matua Winston Peters saying that, you know, you're handing over the power to self-appointed people. But that's just not the reality. These people are involved in the community on a day-to-day basis, aren't they, Ami?
Well, every one of them is democratically elected.
Yeah.
That is the strength of the iwi network. Everyone, you know that when they were nominated, who nominated them, who seconded them, how many votes they got. And yeah, there's not very many agencies like the iwi Chairs Forum who have got 74 democratically elected leaders in one place saying the one thing. Well, that's a big mandate. And I think Winston, he's still operating in the old colonial days, I think, of how you lead. These days, it's much more participatory than it used to be.
So, Hami, we've got people that are getting vaccinated. Numbers are still low, and we've still got a great level of hesitancy. And then you have the anti-vaxxers. How active have they been there? A two-part question. How active are they there? And what about this insidious sort of urging on by Pākehā? You know, we had the great heckler that heckled the Prime Minister, the American, running in one breath a white supremacist agenda, and then saying, oh no, we're working with our Māori friends in terms of freedom and freedom of movement. How insidious is this, and what can you as an iwi leader to do to minimise their importance and their influence?
Well, everybody's got a right to their opinion. That's fair enough, I suppose. And the thing is, some of these opinions are so way off. So ridiculous. The conspiracy theories are so out there that I have to ask myself the question, what's going on here? It's got nothing to do with vaccination, nothing to do with the health and well-being of the people. It's to do with some political ideology that people want to really push about conspiracies and chase up the Donald Trump's ideas, a lot of them. And it really puts me off, because that shows that people are not acting on the basis of scientific rigor or of established knowledge base. They're operating on the basis of rumor, of innuendo, of suspicion, and all that sort of stuff really stems from America.
And we find the odd, and what they do is they seem to be able to catch the old Māori that I've never heard of, you've never heard of, you've never seen it, hui, never been elected to anything, certainly haven't been at the Wharekai, certainly haven't spent time coming through the smoke of the Wharekai, but they front it with these so-called Māori leaders. But we know that when it comes to issues like our reo, Harmy, you've been the man for the last 30 years. You know, when it comes to the land of, when it comes to the issue of sovereignty, Hone Harawira has been the at the forefront of it. When it comes to organising a valid and consistent response, Mere Mangu's been at the front of all of this. And the others are sort of unknown entities, but being used by themselves and by Pākehā.
Yes, and it's happening both sides too. I think, you know, there are some people like that who are on the other side of the fence, who equally lack mandates. So, you know, I guess it's something that we have to just grapple with as we move along. The main objective has got to be to reduce the cost to our whānau, of not just of our financial cost, but life, the cost of life, you know. And so we have to do everything we can to make sure our whānau is defended and protected. And vaccination is the last gate, but also social contact, all those. You know, in Pauranga, for example, they've developed a template for having a tangihanga that meets the rules of the COVID thing, but also meets our tikanga.
Yes.
Now, it's taken a year to be able to develop that template. That template should be now picked up by the Ministry of Health and understood that other iwi around the country or communities can do exactly the same thing, because whether we like it or not, when a Māori can't have a tangi, we get sick.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
we have to be able to cry for our tangata, and we have to be able to go through a grieving process in order for us to come out healthy at the other end. And when you don't have a tangi, when you can't actually practice your rituals and your tikanga, then your hinangaro, your wairu is all going to get buggered up, and our people will not be well, you know. So I think, we've got a long way to go, bro.
There are events, say, you know, tangihana we have to go to. We have to, you know, we have to be in compliance. And I love that. We're building our own template. You know, my first cousin died recently in Tamaki Makaurau. And, you know, we just knew that only certain numbers could go at certain times, we had to sanitize, no hongi. But we did what we did, we could. You know, we wished her farewell. We didn't travel down to the Eastern Bay of Plenty with her. So we are an adaptable people, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. And, of course, at the end of the day, all tikanga are man-made or woman-made. And so bearing that in mind, we can change them. We can make new ones. We can do whatever we need to do to facilitate our survival, you know, and that's something we should always remember. And of course, one of our tikanga is around whanaungatanga and aroha te tahi ki te tahi. And as we head into the holiday season, every Māori I know from the north who's living in Auckland will want to go home. They'll be desperate to go home because that's what you do. Your mind, spirit, and body need it, you know. And those of us who live at home, we have no right to deny them. It is their right, you know. But we do have a right to say, hey, bro, kia tupato, or even taihoa, you know. Have mercy on us. we're defenseless here. So please, you know, give us a bit of a break. And I think our whānau will understand that and dress appropriately for it, as it were, you know.
Harmy, hang on there. I just want to our callers remind people that we have Harmy Piripi online, having a kōrero from Te Tai Tokorau, and feel free to join both myself and Harmy if you live in Tamaki Makaurau, 0927596033, outside of the Rohe, 0800 460 3603. Feel free to call us. Harmy, I want to change the subject if I can. At the beginning of my show, I had Tori Whānau, who you may or may not know. She was the former Chief of Staff for the Greens, running for the mayoralty in Wellington. You've spent a lot of time in Wellington throughout your career. I'm not sure if you know her, but do you think she's got a decent chance of building a coalition and winning?
I think she's got a decent chance of building a strong coalition.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a decent chance of, because she's got good, strong people on board with her and supporting her. But what we're up against is attitude. And, you know, I mean, we had a Māori mayor in Porirua last time that didn't get too well for us, actually.
He didn't do that great a job, though, did he, Harmy?
Not really, yeah, that's right.
So, yeah.
Truly should be fantastic. But to be a local body politician, you must be popular.
Yeah.
And
And talking of popularity, you've had in the far north, you've had Hone Kata, who built his career, who built his early career on, and as having quite a strong anti-Māori perspective, but over the last few years in particular has learnt, and is sort of a friend of ours, isn't he? He supported the Māori wards, and if you were to, 20 years ago, if you were to say that John Carter would support something like that, you'd sort of be able to knock yourself over with a feather. He's talking about retiring this year round, or next year. Hami, will we finally see a Māori elected to the mayoralty in the far north?
Well, we really need to, because it's one place in the country that we can really do with it. But the thing is, when they had the vote for the Māori ward, the Taitokoro got the highest percentage in the country for the vote against them.
Yes.
68%.
And part of that is we don't participate, or we're not facilitated in terms of our participation.
16%. Yeah. 16% is our participation rate. And part of that is because we don't support local government structures, because they've really stolen our mahi of kaitiaki and that sort of thing. People don't like somebody else managing our natural resources when it's our job as kaitiaki. And so that's a bit of an issue. But yes, with the opinion of the voting population, that entrenched, it's very, very difficult. You have to, even I've been approached to think about it, because the queer will say to me, "Oh, you'd be good, homie, because the Pākehās will vote for you."
And actually, that's very wise, because you've got to build a coalition in a seat like the far north amongst Māori and Pākehā. It's actually a very wise comment from your queer there, homie.
Yeah, very frightening.
and we spoke.
That's what it takes.
Yeah, we spoke about him earlier. We mentioned his name, and he's a good friend of ours and good friend of yours. And we go once a year when you're invited to his fantastic Waitangi Day parties. And my mate Shane Jones, who's made it very clear, if Winston wants to come back, he's going to come back with him. Wouldn't he be better off trying to run for the mayoralty?
No, I don't think so. I mean, he remember he's only been a list MP.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And in the last election, he poured something like $13 million into the Northern Community
Provincial Growth
Community
Fund
project.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pākehā still wouldn't vote for him, even though he put all that money in. He's white as a Pākehā, he's educated, speaks articulately,
yes.
Got a beautiful whānau, and the bugger still didn't vote for him.
15%, got 15% of the vote, and King, Matt King, and who's I think an outright now conspiracy theorist, Willowjean came through the middle and won the election. You might not remember this, Hami, but 5 weeks out I caught it, and I just think that she was just seen as positive, as didn't get involved in the day-to-day da-da-da-da, and just a different voice.
Yes, that's true. But when you look at the progress that has been made, we have to ask ourselves the question: where is she in it? Because we need Māori women up there, knocking on the door.